Okay, Hachshav Sarveichem on page Gimel. Rebbe began by telling us that we're learning that there's a mahalach within Klal Yisrael. There's a mahalach that experiencing HaKadosh Baruch Hu and his closeness, the Darchei HaNeviim, the way of the Neviim, and then the way of the Balei HaZoyar Kaddish and the Talmud Baal Shem Tov, is that it's a person that it's not enough for a person to experience occasional closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or to serve Hashem merely like an Eved, but to be able to serve Hashem Yisbarach as a child with tremendous Yisairus, not only during Torah and Avodah, not only during davening and learning and mitzvahs and so on, but throughout one's entire day. This was the she'ifa of the Nevi'im, this was the she'ifa of the Tzaddikim, and this has to be our she'ifa as well. And the entire Sefer is going to be about how we can experience that and how we could change in that way. So on page Gimel, Hinei Reishis HaHizgalus. Hinei Reishis HaHizgalus B'Gadosh Shekel Haisa Nafshim Yisraelis. So you have to start from the beginning. How did the Balei Ruach HaKodesh come to their Madregas? How did the tzaddikim begin? So the Reishis says, "Gal tzvidei shekel, haisa nafsham Yisraelis." The beginning of a person's Yisraelis is on that lowest spiritual level, which is called nefesh, nafsham Yisraelis, that each and every one of us has. Chelak elokam imal asher b'kirbam. The chelak elokam imal is within each and every one of us. Nizgalahem would be revealed to them, which we've spoken throughout our learning of the Rebbe's Svarim. V'oz b'nafsham ha'gluya hukshru l'he'osayis mekovel esgalus ha'gedoy levan esgavash ha'zochu l'vakotsham. Once the nefesh Yisraelis has been, so to speak, opened, and one has accessed the nefesh Yisraelis, which we're going to learn in Mitzvah Hashem how to do, so then in that state of the nefesh being gluya, of the soul being revealed and opened, that basic level of nefesh, then mimela it's possible to go to the higher madregas, to become a merkava, meaning to be able to be a chariot or to be a vehicle through which there could be a greater level of hisgalus, to go to a higher level of ruach and neshama. Ubaakdomis shachdusha meharav Chaim Vital isa shiyesh shenafsho atzma mizdakecha ma'oid tizgala odam v'san higeyu b'chol drachav. Rabbi Chaim Vital said there is such a thing that when the person's nefesh becomes very refined, that the nefesh itself will guide the person in all of his ways. Ad kam l'shani ha'kodesh haynu sheyesh tzadik shal ezoch yosem in hizgalus nafsho lo l'nevuv lo l'ruch ha'kodesh. He says there's such a thing, what Rabbi Chaim Vital is telling us, there's such a thing as a tzadik who all that he experienced within him was his galus and nefesh. But through that his galus and nefesh, which means not nevuah, not ruach hakodesh, the gam zayis madrega, the gam hitan, he gave a darka l'Hashem. And even though it was only that part of himself that he came into contact with, his galus and nefesh, that itself would be able to direct the tzaddik in all kinds of amazing things. Without, again, we're not talking about making predictions and having the vias, but with the strengthening in the most remarkable way of an intuitive understanding of what I have to do to serve the Baruch Shalom and how I have to go and how my life should be and so on and so forth. So even though it's not open Ruach HaKodesh, it's not Nevuah, but there's a very subtle and amazing Kayach that directs this person. I mean, he's going to explain everything.
So
So he says, now a bacher or a young man who's careful with all of the halachas and Torah Shabbat and Torah Shabbat, v'gam b'chol min hagei kodesh Yisrael, any Jew who has been dakdek in all the halachas, he tries to keep everything in halacha properly and all the minhagim and all of our customs, u'mishtokek oidle hiskashli as chasid, and in addition to keeping all the halachas and all the minhagim, he has a longing to become a chasid. Tzarech lasayis oid lifnim, it's a printing thing, this is second on, tzarech lasayis lifnim mishuas adin. In order to become what's a chassid, he goes lifnim mishuas adin, meaning to be able to push himself to do even more. Not only physically to push himself and keep my mitzvahs more and more, and other more and more. And not only is he pushing himself when it comes to his learning Torah to understand more, but gam benafsha, emotionally, his nefesh. It's nafsha yosef la'avoda, to add one's nefesh, to increase the, and to invest more of one's nefesh into the avoda. So the Rebbe says nafsha tesgala, his nefesh will begin to work for him. The whole guf nefesh ruach and neshama shaloi yavdus Hashem, and his body, his nefesh ruach and neshama will serve Hashem. Was yivtach b'Hashem shizakel liyos chasid, and then he could trust in Hashem that Hashem will be mezakeh him to be a true chasid. The Rashi is al omer mesech psachim bal nefesh chasid. So Rashi says, what's a chasid? A bal nefesh. A chasid is not dependent upon whether or not, you know, he takes shirayim or whether or not he wears a long coat. That's all nice. Those are all nice things. The ikur is a bal nefesh, is a chasid. A bal nefesh means somebody who lives in a state where his nefesh, and we'll see what that means. We didn't learn yet what that means. Where his nefesh is revealed, where he has access to his nefesh, and that way of serving Hashem, beginning with nefesh and moving on to high madregas. Bal nefesh, that's a chasid. He reishis v'ikarish al chasidus, shi'a bal nefesh. The beginning and the ikur of chasidus is that a person should be a bal nefesh. They should be somebody who can have bailus over his nefesh, to be able to access his nefesh when he wants to, as we'll see. And this is why we spent a lot of time in the Kutras Chavis HaTalmidim. The Daber Echet Shichim LaHaschel Gam Benorim V'Bochrim Loiris Nafsham Bavadosim. And we learned in Chavis HaTalmidim how it's absolutely essential that we begin, even in the young age, by Na'arim and Bochrim, to be ma'ira the nefesh and the avodah. That we shouldn't allow even the young boys, the bachrim and the na'arim, that they should just serve Hashem by rote, but rather that we should be ma'ira the nefesh and the avodah even of the young boys. Aval einu nedarshim mikol mascha ba'avodah she'yisarei b'slavus gedola. Certainly we don't expect that whoever begins this avodah Hashem, that there should be a tremendous islavus. Mikol shken b'slavus min atzadikim gedolim rish pe'esha ahavi v'hayir. And of course not, we don't expect any beginners to experience the great hislavus, the fiery coals of love and fear of the tzaddikim. But that each and every one of us, at least there should be hisrakshis, that we should be able to have hisrakshis and nefesh, some excitement of the soul. Bechinas, next page, Rebeisel Akim Nahalach Biragish. To go in Hashem's house with emotion, with feeling. If you look at the brackets it has in the translation, the Zohar Kaddish says that the first level, the beginner's level of Hisairus in a person, that's called Nefesh. Hisairus of the Nefesh. The Nefesh hazais smucha laguf. The Nefesh is that. Is that spiritual quality that's closest to the body? It's most connected to the body. Even when a person is looking forward to some special event or some delicious meal, even though it seems odd, that there could be hisiris hanefesh. On the most basic level, the person can feel some emotional excitement about something which is purely physical, which is just something of this world. There could be already hisiris hanefesh, because the nefesh is very connected to physical things. That's why in the Teres of Baal Shem Tov, one doesn't make fun of that. Even though it's true that when you look in the Musa Svaram, those types of hisiris are mostly ridiculed and mocked. You know, what kind of spiritual hisiris is there over a barbecue? What kind of spiritual hisiris is that you're happy to see a kid? You didn't see a kid for a few days, you're happy to see a kid. That's hisiris. It's dumb. It's not riskite. It's something physical, something selfish, it's something very basic that all human beings experience. But we've learned over and over again in the Svarim of the Pizetzna and all Chassidus Svarim that of course that's not the objective, to have some sort of an emotional experience over your supper, or even to have some emotional experience over a child or a husband or a wife. That's not the tachlis of this Aris HaNefesh. But as the Rebbe said, and we learned in Bnei Machshav HaTayva, that if the jail door is open, you take advantage, right? If someone's out of prison for a little bit, when a person has a hisiris hanefesh, even though it's for something which is very, very simple or very basic or something physical of this world, if a person's having a hisiris hanefesh, that still is a hisiris hanefesh. And it means that the person's nefesh, it means he's in touch with something inside of himself that's not just physical. All right, it's he's having his hisiris hanefesh over supper. Or he's having his hisiris hanefesh over, it could be that he's very, very, let's say a person is filled with worry over something. He's very, very worried about something. He's worried about something at work, you know, that he's going to lose his job. There have been indications that he's going to get fired, like his boss said, "I'm firing you." Right? So he's worried. So a person is worried. And he can't stop, and he feels uncomfortable, he feels uneasy, what's going to be. It's a nefesh. And the question, of course, there in the Rebbe's Svarim and all the Talmidei Rosh Chaim Tov is not to make fun of that and to say that's just a stama narishkeit. If it's left on its own, it is a narishkeit. But the fact is that the jail door is open, as the Rebbe says in Machshav Tov that we learn together. And if the jail door is open, then you take advantage. And if at that moment when a person's in contact with his nefesh, if he tries to use that as a way of getting closer to Hashem, to say some tehillim, to cry out to Hashem, to speak to Hashem about what he's worried about, regarding something which is itself, which seems to be a silly thing, a person sad about something. But you see, sad about something that's of this world. But the hisiris hanefesh, a Jew is not a regular human being. It's not stam. And if a person has hisiris hanefesh, then that nefesh, that hisiris hanefesh means that there's something that's been bared open that in the course of a regular day is not open. When a person just goes about his business, he doesn't feel any excitement at all. He just does what he has to do. So if a person's nefesh has been exposed, so then he takes that moment and says a few tehillim, or he says that moment and he asks Hashem for help and so on, so then he's able to dive in a way of his service and efforts that he didn't have in the morning by Shachris, when he was half asleep. Now a person's worried he's going to lose his job, so there's his service and efforts.
Is it the same service that we learned also that Rabbi said, even if you hear bad news, you want to hear something like that?
Yeah, there's hisiris hanefesh, right.
Like you're aching to hear something.
Right, right. So a person, there's hisiris hanefesh from, that's a person, like David was reminding us, that the Rebbe said that in Tzav HaZeirus, that a person, there's some bad news, Chas HaShalom, there's something, or there's a person goes somewhere and he sees there's an accident and he has, it's emotionally jarring for him. So a person's at that moment is in agitation. The nefesh has been awakened from its slumber. Now, if it just remains in that place, and that's all that it is some degree of anxiety or some feeling of being upset over an accident, so then it's no different than any human being. And then the nefesh just retreats back into its cave, and that's it. Then he goes weiter. But if the person takes that emotionally jarring experience, where his nefesh has been wrenched out of that cave, so then he uses that and he pours his kaychus into tefillah and tavayda into something at that time, so then he'll experience a closeness to Hashem. And it will be something which will bring him closer and closer to Kadosh Baruch Hu. So any hisaris anefesh at all, whatever is the cause of that hisaris anefesh, is very, very precious. It's very valuable. It's very important. Any hisaris anefesh can be used as an opportunity to get closer to Hashem. And that's why, whereas you see that the Bali Musar would put that hisaris through under a magnifying glass, under a microscope, and say, why are you having this Hisaris HaNefesh? What motivated you to have this Hisaris HaNefesh? What is the cause? It's something stupid. It's something ridiculous. It's something very, very base and silly about work. It's something about food. It's something about, you know, you're excited. You're going on a trip somewhere, so you're all excited. That's narishkeit, and that's something that you have to drive out of you have to drive out of your consciousness, because that has nothing to do with the Rebbeinu Shlom. There's nothing holy to that. So the Rebbe explains that the way of the Nevi'im was not like that. They used, as you know, they used music as a means of getting close to Hashem. Not an end unto itself, but there's a serious nefesh that one experiences through music. And the nefesh is awakened. And through that, there can be tefillah. Through that, there can eventually be Ruach HaKodesh and Nevi'is. It's a stepping stone. It's something which can bring you to higher madrigas. Not that it's an end in itself, but it's a hisaris nefesh. And any time that a person comes into contact with that part of himself that is even ever so slightly beyond the physical, it's very chashuv. It means he's out of jail for it. It means the cell door is open. And if the cell door is open and there's a hisaris nefesh, then it's very crucial that the person uses it for avodas Hashem. But it's a nefesh. It's not stam. That's what the Zohar Kodesh is saying. Ha'isayrus ha'tachtayni sheba'odah nafshayi. The nefesh hazay smukha laguf v'zonaslay laguf v'misachedis imo. The lowest level of, that lowest spiritual level of a person, it's connected to the body. It's connected to the body. That means that even in the service of the body, the exhilaration the person feels when he hits a jump shot, you know, the exhilaration the person feels when he's been in a race and he was able to make it to the finish line or something. That exhilaration, that feeling of excitement, it's something which of course is very attached to the body, but it's not physical. It's not physical. It's the closest thing to the body. It's the closest thing to the body, and you can call it adrenaline. It's a hormone. It's this or it's that. But lamaisa, it's the Zohar HaKadosh is saying it's smucha laguf. It's smucha laguf. It's attached to the guf. But because of that, the Zohar says, va'achakach shemistakenes hanefesh nasa kisa sheyishra leharuach b'sayrus nefesh azayis. That through that b'sayrus hanefesh, if a person would use it with tefillah and with avayda or learning something, through that hisaris hanefesh, the person can come to what? He can come to hisaris of a level of ruach, which is already purely spiritual, a level of ruach. Ukshishneim istaknim, and when he tries to refine the nefesh and the ruach, hanefesh and ruach azmam shichin, the Zohar Kodesh says neshama. Then you could draw neshama. You could come to that place of neshama inside of you.
Really appreciate how you should use all your strength and all your activities to serve Hashem. But on the other hand, I would be concerned that it doesn't lead me to more gashmias and say, you know what? It leads you to a gashmias life where you want to eat more, where you want to think of physically pleasurable things more. And on a certain level, isn't that the opposite of wanting to be more spiritual?
Right. So it couldn't be that the Rebbe is saying that the tachlis is to have another steak to get excited about, right? It couldn't be. So it doesn't mean, he's not saying chas v'shalom that the tachlis here is that a person becomes, that a person, I said that, I don't know if you heard me.
Dangerous. I mean, you're...
He's not talking about engaging in physical acts for the purpose of awakening the nefesh. He's not talking about that. He's saying
that... How does that lead to it?
I'm going to explain to you, listen. He says that in the course of a person's life, it's natural, because he hasn't reached high madrigas, it's natural that although he's not seeking any kind of hesiris, it's natural that there are things in life that that excite him, or that he has a hesiris from. He's not talking about like going into things more. That's why he said over here, he said, Kshemistakenis on nefesh. It means that when the person works on repairing the nefesh and refining the nefesh, what the Rebbe is saying is that when a person has an experience, and instead of letting it, not that he goes into that looking for it, but instead of allowing it to become something which is purely physical, he tries to be misakin the nefesh, he tries to lift it up and to refine it, so then that can lead to a higher level of ruach and neshama, so that eventually he's not going to seek spiritual intensity through that meal or through that event that he's going through, whether it's a happy thing or it's a sad thing. There are things that happen in life. He never said that a person is supposed to intentionally cause himself to feel grief, or intentionally, you know, over something silly, or intentionally to want to have an excitement over his barbecue. He's saying that's the way life is. A person feels that. This is a service of nefesh. What's dangerous about that? That's how life is. The question is, what do you do with that feeling? That's the question. How are you misaken that feeling? Whether you leave it as something which is purely an experience in this physical world, or you find through that a means of his iris on a higher level, and in doing so, ultimately, you're not going to seek any kind of fulfillment through the barbecue or through whatever else it is that you know that you're excited about. That's not dangerous. That's the safest thing in the world. What's dangerous, in my opinion, is not to look at life this way. That's very dangerous, because then what happens is that a person, and this is what, even though the Derech HaMusar certainly worked for very big tzaddikim, but for regular people, it generally has not been able to work for an average person. Not that it doesn't have holiness and truth in it. Of course, it's filled with holiness and truth. But for an average person, what usually will happen is that he divides his life into two. He sees himself as being somebody that has rare moments of inspiration, but generally speaking, he's a low life. Generally, he's a low life, and he doesn't see anything at all, any potential at all in the vast majority of his life, which is led with physical desires. He doesn't see it as being an opportunity to grow. He sees it as being something that he has to simply remove and cut out of his life. And since most people are not prepared to cut out the barbecue or to cut out the marathon or to cut out the basketball game, or to cut out the little family get-together that causes everybody to feel so happy and excited. Regular people are not cutting those things out of their lives. So the question is, if you compartmentalize your life and you say, well, my moments in shul and my moments of learning, those are holy moments. And even during those times, I have my mind half the time someplace else. But those are moments that are spent in holiness. But the vast majority of my life is spent in Narishkeit. So most people look at themselves that way, and they see themselves as being two different people or 20 different people, and from there comes the person makes a simple cheshbon that, you know, Rabban Biad Ma'atim is a nace that happened by Hanukkah, but usually it doesn't work that way, Rabban Biad Ma'atim, when the many fall into the hands of the few. Usually the majority wins, right? So a person looks at himself and he says, well, let me make a cheshbon. How much time of my day is spent in holiness? Okay, let's say maybe between Shacharis and Chamarav, so 50 minutes, an hour and 15 minutes, maybe then I learn for an hour, so okay, let's say 2.5-3 hours is spent in holiness. Even during that time of davening, let me try to make a cheshbon, how much time am I really thinking about God? So let's say from the hour of davening, hour and a quarter of davening, Shacharis and Chamarav, so out of that, maybe 10 minutes, 15 minutes, right, is thinking about God. The rest of the time, it's hard and whatever. And then there's learning. See, take out the time that you're learning, you try to make a cheshbon. So a person, let's say a person's awake, let's say the person is a chveis, is awake, you know, 16 hours, 17 hours. So he makes a cheshbon that out of the 17 hours that I'm awake, so maybe purely, you know, spiritual, maybe there's 2 hours, an hour and a half, 2 hours a day. So it means it's 15 versus 2 of my waking hours. At some point, the person begins to come to the realization that he's losing.
That means that the neshama is losing, and that the guf is winning. And when a person begins to see himself in that way, over time, he begins to question and doubt and wonder more and more about whether even that hour and a half or two is anything significant or meaningful. And at some point, many people just either give up to the physical, or what most people who are raised in Orthodox families will do is that they'll go to shul and they'll go to kiddush and they'll put on tefillin and they'll shake a luluf without feeling anything. They'll do it because whatever reason, whatever motivates them, they're afraid not to do it, or they want to be part of it, the Jewish continuity, whatever cheshbon they have, their father is going to be upset in Shemayim, there are all kinds of cheshbonis that get people to shul, but attachment to God is something which simply is not part of one's consciousness. What the Rebbe is saying here, and all the tzaddikim, the Talmidei Baal Shem Tov, and all of the Torahs are saying over and over and over again, is that you should know that every single experience that you have in life, and every Hesiris, is Hesiris and Nefesh. The question is whether or not you understand that, and if you do understand it, what can be done to stretch out those experiences and to fill them with holiness, to draw them into the world of holiness. Is that dangerous? I don't see that as anything dangerous. Faket, I see what dangerous is, Jews who feel nothing in their Avodas Hashem, who are stressing just like everybody else on everything of this world. The only difference is that they see themselves as being total freshers, and there's nothing at all good in them, there's nothing at all holy in them, except a few minutes that they have of davening and learning, which is also not really too good. That's a very dangerous way. And that is why we're in the state that we're in. Not because of what the Rebbe is talking about. We're in the state that we're in because there's been a horrible split between what we do physically and what we do spiritually. There's been a horrible, horrible split. And as a result of that, people look at themselves as being no different than Goyim. Except when they're in shul. Or except when they're singing zmirs. But otherwise, a Jew is no different than a Goy. And that's a very, very dangerous way of thinking and a very dangerous way of living. And that has led to a brand of orthodoxy, to a way of living a so-called orthodox life that's not without any feeling, without any connection to the Baruch Shalom. Whether it's somebody that wears a bidden payas or it's somebody that wears, a little Nike yarmulke or something. That's what it leads to. That's the Metzius. The Metzius is that he's leading more than a double, triple, quadruple life. And the Yiddishkeit is one compartment, it's one separate little piece of who he is, but it doesn't affect him or influence him in everything that he does. When a person realizes that every single moment of my life, I'm living with the Ribbono Shel Olam, whether I'm eating, sleeping, drinking, whatever it is, every moment of my life I'm living with the Ribbono Shel Olam, and therefore I have to seek out Hashem's Baruch in this moment, and if there's a service and nefesh, then that means that part with the Zohar Kodesh is saying that nefesh, which is smucha laguf, which is attached to the body, has been exposed, and the question is now, what do I do with it? If I just leave it in that simple base and coarse, on that coarse level, then what is it? And of course it's something which is nourishment. It's like, somebody stomping and screaming over his favorite team. So what does that mean? What does it mean for a Jew to jump up on a table or to roll on the floor and to over somebody, throwing a ball into a net? What's the whole Osiris? And if you leave it like that, it's the craziest thing in the world. And when the Baruch Shalom, not just the Baruch Shalom, from the perspective of our own neshamas, it's the craziest thing in the world. But what's really happening is that when that person is jumping on the table or rolling on the floor because his team, scored a point, so the neshama of that person is screaming out and saying, okay, at least he's feeling something. This is the first time like in 6 months that the guy has any asiris. This is the first time that the neshama is rooting. Do something with this. Make yourself into something. Make a Kabbalah with this Asiris that you're feeling Asiris, that what? That you're going to learn Mishnayis, that you're going to do something. However that can be used, we can learn throughout the Sefer. That's what the Sefer is about. Is that dangerous? I don't see that that's dangerous. I think it's dangerous for the person who's just jumping up and down in this world with all of his silliness. And sees it as being something which is totally immature and silly. There are still some people left in our community who would admit that getting all excited over somebody scoring a goal or a basket is silly. I mean, there are some people that would admit that. I'm not talking about the ones who go to the baseball camp. The Orthodox, you know, meet the Mets, you know, Ron Svoboda, Ed Cranepool, and the guys, you know, a batting clinic for how many thousands of dollars? I forgot the number.
$4,000
for a couple of days or a week, what is it? I don't know, whatever. A couple of days with the Gedolim. Right? The same people who are afraid that a kid will come home, God forbid, with a little Yerushalayim from Eretz Yisrael, but he'll go for $4,000 to a batting camp because he thinks that a couple of women from Shul are going to stand there on a Sunday watching this overage and overweight has been, you know, hit the ball past the infield and all the women are going to go yay. So he's ready to go to a batting camp, you know, to get tips from the Mets, who themselves were on that madrigal, even when they were playing.
Could it be appropriate to channel any of those feelings, or that's all shtus?
Well, this, everything is shtus. We're all shtus. It's all shtus in an Irish guy. But even that a person can certainly... everything. So even that, what I'm saying is it's more difficult. If a person's already paying $4,000 for shtus, it's already a big madrigal, you understand? All of us are shaitim, but we don't pay $4,000. I mean, it's an expensive shtus, you know. So when a person's putting $4,000 into shtus, so he wants to get the most out of that, and he doesn't, you know, it's very hard to take him out of that shtus. But certainly, every Irish guy, every shtus person could come from that. And if this person will come home from his baseball camp, and he would make a cheshbon nefesh, and he would ask himself, what's going to be with me? What's the tachas of my life? I just spent $4,000. Like a big baby, you know, running around in cleats, and all the government making fun of these Jews that are spending $4,000, you know, learning how to slide into second, you know, learning how to slide into second without breaking his leg. So a person sits down, he makes a cheshbon nefesh, and he thinks, Gevad, what's wrong with me? What's the tachas of my life? Is this why God put me in the world?
He would never call it the tacos, though. You'd say, I did it once in the whole year. I had fun. So do you take that fun and serve God with it? You take that fun
and
you say it was a foolish thing to have done.
So what we're saying is that you asked, what, can a person come? Can that be? The answer is that even from God forbid, the biggest aveira in the world. That's not an aveira. I'm talking about this. It's silly. But even from the biggest aveira in the world, a person could take the biggest tshuva. There's no question. On all madrigas, we have no. There is no such thing by us. I know this sounds very shocking. We don't have any idea in Yiddishkeit. There's no such thing as having fun for the sake of having fun. Which doesn't mean at all that the Baruch Shem does that has nothing to do at all with the Baruch Shem saying that you can't play a little ball and you can't have some leisure. Of course you can, but we don't have anything that there's a tachlis in itself for that. But there's no tachlis itself to being married either. There's no tachlis for being in love either. There's no tachlis to that. It's only when a person grows in his avodas Hashem, he learns more and more of the Svarim Kedoshim, where he realizes that the only tachlis is to be an Eved Hashem. That's it. There's no tachlis, not in loving the baseball team or loving a basketball game, and there's no tachlis in loving your wife either. There's no tachlis in loving your children either. Bechlal not. There's no tachlis at all. So that's also shtusim in Arishkei. That sounds shocking, right? It's the holiest thing in the world if it's a sieve of one's one serving Hashem. And here's the difference. Why did the Baruch Shalom give you a wife and child? And what's the tachlis of having the wife and child? And there's a whole difference you could see within 5 minutes of whether or not this person looks at his child as being part of his tachlis or something which is fun. Fun, okay, it's a more serious level of fun, obviously. Having a kid is a serious thing, even though there are people that don't seem to take that too seriously either. But it's fun. Fun, having a kid is fun. Dressing my kid up, making my kid look like this, and my kid's the best at this and the best at that. It's very exciting. It's a lot of fun. They're cute, and you have a lot of. It's when they're babies, you know, they smile, they good face, they do all kinds of cute things, and then as they get older, then it becomes a little bit more complicated. You know, they're less cute and more complicated, and so on. But still. It all depends on how one looks at it. Is it a shtus? Of course, it's a shtus. It's not the biggest shtus in the world that you spend half when the kid's little. All you do is shtus, and then he gets older, you're trying to talk him out of his shtus. So what? It's not shtus on Irish guy. But the question is, what's the tachlis? And if a person doesn't ask himself every step along the way and 100 times a day, what's the tachlis? So then he gets lost in the shtus. There's no such thing as fun. That's for babies, fun. What does it mean, fun? Which doesn't mean you can't have fun. That's not what I'm saying. That's what this one don't say that. You can have fun. Not only can you, you should. A person needs to. A person needs. But he has to realize that the nefesh is smukha l'guf. We don't live as, we're not bodies. We don't live as gufim. We're not bodies. The nefesh is smukha l'guf. That's what the Zohar is saying. And the tachlis is that I take a Zohar and nefesh, and from the Zohar and nefesh, I can access my ruach, and from my ruach, I can access my neshama. With the nefesh and ruach together, I can come to my neshama. And that's the tachlis of being in this world. There's no separation. There's no inyan of having fun. But it's very, very hard on a person. To say such a thing, to go and to talk about that, Barabbim, it certainly would be something which should be seen as very, very strange and very dangerous. But what's really dangerous, as I said before, is when a person sees himself as being, I have a serious part of myself, you know, a little bit with the davening and learning, or for some people, like my Yom Kippur persona, and then I have my, you know, then I have the other stuff that I do. There's the other stuff that I do. That's very dangerous. That's very, very dangerous. So that's what he's saying. Zoysameris, that paragraph on page Dal, four lines up. Zoysameris, Shafilo ezis iris visrakshus achi klusha. That even that his iris, a feeling of excitement, his iris visrakshus achi klusha, even the dimmest, the weakest little emotional charge that a person experiences, Shema'ira ha'ish b'kirba ba'avayda, I feel it's rakshas nafsha achiyunis asmuch l'guf. Even if it's just the simplest destruction nefesh, which is smuch l'guf, which is the closest to the physical. Kragila ma'at es nafshay. There was already a little bit of his galus and nefesh. Kragila ma'at es nafshay. He was already megala a little bit of his nefesh. Below is nafsho levada, and not only his nefesh. Rak aydezeh gamis ruach yaira. He could come to the service of ruach, and afis on the neshama megala, even to his galus his service of his neshama. Which is the purpose of the sefer, to teach us how to engage in specific exercises to do this. How we could change those moments of smucha l'guf, those moments that are attached to the body, but they have something emotional, they have something of some excitement, something emotional and spiritual in content. How do we give it an extra boost to take it to the next level of nefesh, to bring it to ruach, and to join nefesh and ruach, to come to neshama, which the Rebbe says in all of his sermon is the Darchei HaNeviyas. That this was the way of the Neviyim. And this was the way of the Zohar Kaddish, of the Ariyah Kaddish, and the Talmud Yabal Shem. This is not a Chiddush. This is not something new. This is only a Soiris of a very, very ancient way, the way of the Neviyim. Hakol Chafetzim Lira Shemecha. Slichas, everybody, Bemis, all Jews want to fear God's name. Hakol chafetzim lira shemecha. Aval, what time do we have to die? What time is davening? Aval harbe mehem kol yirosam af avosam l'shem rak bedaitim hi. Everybody wants to have a feeling of yiros Hashem, but the Rebbe explains. But many, many people, their entire fear and their entire love of God is only something that's in their minds. Rak bedaitim hi. That in their minds they know that they should love God and fear God. They know that. They know that's the right thing, that they should be feeling that. But unfortunately, and they have tsar over this, these are serious people. They know intellectually they're supposed to love God. They know intellectually that they're supposed to fear God. But sadly, they don't feel any love or any fear. They don't feel it. They just know in their minds that they should be feeling it. But they don't feel it. Av de'inyin harotzen. This is a person that he knows, and he has a rotzen that what, and he knows that tzarechu lirtzos, that he should want very much to have a shtoikus, to have a longing, to live the entire day with holy feelings and with holy and a closeness to Hashem. He knows that and he wants that. So he knows that he should be what? He should be a feeling an attachment to Hashem through Torah, through learning, through mitzvahs and so on. And it should be with a feeling of Tahara and Kedushas Hashem. He just wants to have that longing. He knows in his mind that's the right thing. And he wants to feel that longing for learning, for davening, for Hashem's Baruch. For Rak Yodeyu should Tzarech L'Shtoikah Kain. He only knows that he should have that Shtoikahus. He knows that he should feel that. But he doesn't feel any rotzen, he doesn't feel any tshuka. So he could spend his entire life, and he's learning Kedushas Levis and the Mori Naims, and he's learning the Svarma Kedosh, and he's seeing gewaldige things, and he's going to all kinds of Kumbhitsin and Shmuzin and Tyrus and so on, and he sees himself always as being outside. He's reading something from the Kedushas Levi, and he sees that the Bedichva is mamish in that place, and he knows that the Bedichva, every word that's coming from the Kedushas Levi was living at that moment, and he says, how do I get into that Kedushas Levi? I'm reading it, I'm learning it. It's something which is amazing. I wish I could feel what the Kedushas Levi was feeling, but I don't feel that. I don't feel that. And you're constantly learning the Svarma Kedoshim, and you look into the Sefer, and you see that, and you know that it's true, and you know that the tzaddik was living that, and for you it's just an interesting vart that you could say over, like, you know, to a friend, did you hear? There's a vart from the Bedichva, there's a vart from the Slonim, there's a vart, but when the Bedichva said that, it wasn't a vart. The Bedichva was living that, and you find yourself always on the outside, just saying Torah over, but not living that Torah, not feeling that Torah. So you'll read something from Rabbi Nachman. Rabbi Nachman's talking about the most unbelievable hiskashus to Hashem that a person could possibly imagine. And you say, "Wow, that's amazing, it's so beautiful." Rabbi Nachman was in that, and you're out of it. You're not. And we're talking about a person who wants it. We're not talking about a person who doesn't care. A person who wants it, he just doesn't feel it. So he could read 1,000 Torahs about Ahavas Hashem, and he doesn't feel any Ahavas Hashem. And it becomes disheartening. It's a person can tell somebody that he loves, I love you, but then he goes back and he thinks, I don't feel any of that. I'm just saying those words. Because I saw on television that he's supposed to say that at some point. So I say, I love you. But you don't feel anything. So that means you want to be able to love that person. But you don't feel it, Lamaisa. And sometimes it's confusing. Because that wanting to love can be felt in certain ways as love. But then when you have a more lucid moment, and a more honest moment, you know that you don't really love the person. You just want to love the person. And that's not a hava. So, when it comes to Avodas Hashem, the Rebbe is saying, HaKol HaFeitzim L'Yireh Shemach, all Jews want to feel Yiras Shemayim. But it's not so pasha to feel Yiras Shemayim. U'mekom HaKom, that's what he's writing. U'mekom HaKom, he says, Rak Reitzeh Lirtzeis. All it is a Rotzen, which is something important too, which of course is important. But it's a Rotzen Lirtzeis. He just wants very much to want it, to have a tshuka, to have a longing. And Rak Yodeyu Shetzarech L'Shtoikah Kein. And he knows in his mind that he's supposed to have this feeling. But Veina Margish L'Rotzen Af L'Tshuka. But the truth is, he doesn't feel a rotzen at all. He doesn't feel a tshuka at all. He'd still rather just go to sleep.
There's actually a little twisted logic, almost, that I've heard it. I've heard the lesson that people say, "Oh, you know, I'm religious, but I'm not really flipped out. I'm not, because I'm normal."
Right.
So what's the normal? The normal is it's looked at in a completely reversed.
Yeah. What's considered to be, you know,
what's normal?
What's considered to be normal, and that lesson of flipping out. You know, what's considered to be normal, right? And if you see a person who has a srakshis and avodas Hashem, so that makes other people feel very uncomfortable, and that's not normal, right? It's not normal.
It's true. It's not normal, but the words that are applied to it block a person from going there, because if you think about it, it's. Look at the words that are being used. It's normal, flipped out, and
yeah, it's all has all negative, derogatory connotations. All negative, right? So they'll tell the kid, oh, what's the matter? You know, you're frummed out, or you flipped out, right? So the kid comes back from yeshiva, excited about Yiddishkeit. So you know, a couple of friends that didn't go, or some guys that went, but they didn't feel that, whatever it is, or his parents might pour some cold water over the kid and say, listen, just be normal. And all of this is part of our sickness of what's normal and what's not normal, and this is what the Rebbe's talking about. You're right. So a person at least in this madrega, a person knows that there are things that should be getting him excited, and that he should feel an ahav and yira, but he can't feel any rust and dol or any chuk at all. And what the Rebbe's going to explain now is that what all of these people can definitely experience and do experience, different types of Hisrakshus and Hisairus, they just don't realize that it has any potential religious content. And how do we use all this Iris and all this Hisrakshus of our lives as a means of being ma'ira, a true ahav and a true yira of Hashem, to feel, to be able to feel an attachment to Hashem, to feel an ahavis and yiras Hashem. That's what we're going to continue with the Mitzvah next week.